If you would take your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter number 8, where we were this morning. And we want to read just a few verses tonight, verses 6 through 12. Verse 6 of Genesis 8. We were here this morning. Just want to reread what we, a portion of what we read this morning and talk about it tonight. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Remember, that window was in, is believed to be in the roof of the ark. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet or her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he, Noah, put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. And he stayed another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf, pluck it off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house, the privilege to be together, the honor to have your word, to read it and to study it tonight, and the humility that we feel knowing that we need you to help us understand and see the word as we properly should. So God, we pray the Spirit of God would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your word, that you would cause your word to go forth with much power, and that you would accomplish with it exactly what you have decreed to accomplish. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our people. And we pray tonight for Reva, that you would touch her, encourage her heart, help her physically, and be with Jill and the family. May they look to you for strength, and may you prove yourself to be God to them. We thank you and we'll praise you for that. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, as I study the book of Genesis, there's quite a few books that I am reading to help me in my study of this book. And in the process of reading these various commentators and authors, I must admit that I have run across some very strange and very far-fetched allegories concerning the things in Scripture. None of these allegories do I find are of any value, at least no value that I would share them with you. Just know that I find them very far-fetched and strange. But there is one topic that I myself have not been able to let go, even though I have certainly tried to let it go. I've tried to move on and to put this in the rear view mirror, but I have not been able to do that. There is, I think, a transition here in Genesis 8, a transition from judgment to grace, a transition from death to life. That seems to be what is happening here in verse number 8. It is as if we get to a point of maximum judgment of God, and then everything begins to reverse itself. And the emphasis on judgment and death begins to give way to an emphasis on salvation and life. That's sort of what I see in chapter 8. Waters, judgment waters, have gotten to their highest, and now the rain has stopped, and the earth no longer is flooding from beneath, and rain is no longer coming down from the skies, and it seems like things are, the water is receding, and things are improving. So judgment, death, giving way to emphasis on salvation and life. And in the midst of this transition from death to life are two birds, a raven and a dove. And I found it remarkable the amount of space in Scripture that is given to these two birds. Seven verses are given to these two birds. And it is to the raven and to the dove that I want to draw your attention to tonight, and I want us to consider them in a unique way. And I hope that when we leave here, you don't think that Preacher Mike was pretty strange and far-fetched as well. But I just want to look at these birds and make some applications from them. So let me give you three things tonight quickly. Number one, verse 6 and 7, notice the released raven. The released raven. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So you remember this morning I told you that Noah cannot see outward. There's no windows outward to lend itself to outward sight. The only window is giving Noah an upward view toward heaven, toward God. And so his eyes are going to be this raven initially. And whether you know it or not, I'm going to tell you, the raven is a member of the crow family. Matter of fact, it's the largest member of the crow family. And crows and ravens, and I guess to a certain degree, buzzards, they are scavenger birds. Let me put it this way. Ravens are not very picky about what they eat. They will eat whatever they find. Be it the latest roadkill, or a discarded bag of French fries or chips. Ravens are carrying birds. They feast primarily on dead animals. And given the amount of death that has resulted from this judgment of God, given the amount of death that this flood has produced, when this raven is released from the confines of the ark, this raven may have felt like he was now at Golden Corral. It's a buffet. There are dead bodies floating in the water everywhere. A buffet of dead bodies for ravens. Now, the Bible tells us that the raven was an unclean bird. Unclean because it feeds on death. In the food laws of the Torah, the raven was included in the list of birds that Israel was forbidden to eat. And Leviticus describes the raven as a detestable bird. And I am imagining this raven released from the ark, seeing this smorgasbord of death everywhere, is having himself the time of his life, flying back and forth from one carcass to another. And there were plenty of dead bodies. Both human deadness and animal deadness. I don't want to get too gross here, but there would have been plenty of eyeballs for this raven to pluck out. Hope you've had your supper. The raven is a symbol of death. And the raven's presence here signifies that death still reigned upon the earth, except for one place. That would be in the ark. There is one sanctuary of life amidst a world that had been devastated by death and destruction. And this raven is quite comfortable gorging himself upon the carcasses which are floating by. The raven is quite content to stay outside the ark. Say amen. And let me back up. Inside the ark, the raven had everything it needed, right? But the raven is content to be outside the ark. The raven is satisfied living upon the death that is outside the ark. The raven is actually happier and more at home where there's death than where there is life. And there is no question of where this raven finds its rest. This idea of going to and fro is a Hebrew word that means to rest. This raven finds its rest in the world. This raven finds its rest among the dead. There is no question where this raven would rather be. And once outside in the world, the raven no longer feels any appeal for the ark. It is the world and death that attracts the heart of the raven. So this ark, this salvation, this life has lost its value to the raven. So it rests itself, eating from one dead carcass to another until the waters dry up. You with me? Number two, notice what I am calling the returning dove. The returning dove. The released raven, the returning dove. So I don't think the raven returns. Some do, I don't. I think the raven is quite content outside the ark where there is death, feeding there as much as it wants, as often as it wants, floating on as it rests upon these dead bodies. And then Noah sends forth a dove. And the dove is in some ways like the raven. The dove has wings to fly like the raven. The dove has eyes to see like the raven, probably eyes that are better tuned to see than the raven. And the dove also has an appetite that it satisfies as well. But the dove is also very different from the raven. Where the raven was an unclean and detestable bird, the dove is considered to be a clean bird, so pure that it was suitable to be used as an offering to God in a sacrifice. And Noah sends out this dove as a spy, as his eyes, to see if the waters have dried up from the surface of the earth. And the Bible tells us that the dove flew. I'm thinking that the dove was forced out by Noah and flew to and fro over the waters, where she found no place to perch. Now, the raven didn't have that problem, did he? The raven was happy perching on the dead bodies, and there were plenty of them. But the dove would not perch on deadness. The dove, being a clean animal, would not contaminate herself with death. And so the dove flies, searching after a place, searching after a home that would be suitable outside of the ark. And the mountaintops, according to the preceding verses, had just become visible, but that's all that was visible. And this dove, she flies over them. She flies between the mountaintops. She flies and she flies and she flies. But she finds no place to put her foot. No place that she can call home. No place that she can even rest for a moment. And she tires, because a dove can't fly forever. She needs rest, but she cannot find rest in the death of the world. Are you with me? And the dove, maybe flying, sees the raven perching and eating on a dead body, but the dove cannot rest where the raven rests, and she flies as quickly as she can fly away from the reeking death that permeates the world. Nothing for her to rest her feet upon. She flies east, she flies north, she flies south, but her wings grow weary because she can find no place, no place at all where she can stay the sole of her foot. In other words, unlike the raven, there is no earthly object on which the dove can set her heart. And so what does she do? She returns to the ark. Say amen. She returns to Noah. She returns to the place that she knows that there is rest. She returns to the place where she knows that there is satisfaction. She returns to the place where she knows there is life and there is no death. And we're told here that Noah doesn't wait for the dove to come into the window. He reaches out his hand, he lays hold of her, and he brings her into himself, into the ark. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And finding no resting place in the world, she returns to Noah for rest And it is interesting that Noah's name means rest. Where the raven represents death, the dove represents life. Outside of the ark is death and destruction, and death and destruction still reigned. The ark had found its resting place on the mountains of Ararat, but there was not yet any resting place outside the ark for living creatures. Life was still confined to the ark. Are you smelling what I'm laying down? 7 days later, Noah again sends this dove out of the ark. And again, she returns because she again finds no place of rest. But she did find life outside of the ark. She found an olive tree that was growing above the surface of the water. And she returns to the ark and to Noah with a leaf from that tree in her mouth. And finally, the water recedes so far that the dove, which typically will nest low to the ground, is able to nest and to find life, which is an indication for Noah that judgment is over, new life has begun. And this dove can only live where there is life, and cannot live where there is death. So we have the releasing of the raven. We have the returning of this dove. But the third point is the reason considered. Because here's my question. My question is, why does the raven find satisfaction outside the ark where there is death and the dove does not? Why does the raven not return but the dove does? Why is the raven happy, content, satisfied among death, and the dove cannot even put its feet on death and that which is unclean? My question is, what made the difference between the raven and the dove? And here is the theological, deep, deep answer. The answer is because one was a raven and the other was a dove. Or the difference between the two is found in their nature. The nature of a raven and the nature of a dove. Are you with me? The dove finds no rest in the dirt. The dove finds no rest in death. Not because she doesn't have the will to look for a home in the world. Not because she's not able to see. Not because she doesn't have wings to fly. The reason is that she is a dove. The reason she can't stay around death is because she's a dove. It is in her nature not to be around death. If she had been a raven, she would have found plenty of places to rest the sole of her feet. But it's not in her nature. So therefore, it is her nature that has made her unable to rest among the dead. It's in her nature not to find a place of rest in this destruction. But the raven found rest. The raven was satisfied. The raven was happy and did not return. And the reason the raven found rest, was satisfied, was happy, and did not come back to the ark is because he was a raven. It was in his nature to find rest among the dead. You with me? Let me put it this way. The raven did what ravens do. And the dove did what doves do. It was simply raven, the raven being a raven and the dove being a dove. It is in their nature that both frees them, and it is in their nature that which limits them as well. Now, let me make an application, and I'll be done. Matthew Henry, one of the great commentators on Scripture, back in the late 1500s, I guess, early 1600s, Matthew Henry said this about the dove, quote, "She is an emblem of a gracious soul, which, finding no rest for its foot, no solid place or satisfaction in this world, this deluged, defiling world, returns to Christ as to its ark, as to its Noah." Close quote. You understand that salvation is not just a decision. Salvation is the giving of a new nature. And this new nature that God gives us through regeneration, through salvation, is a nature that is restless in the things of the world. It is a spiritual nature. And the very reason why Christians cannot find satisfaction in worldly things is because God has planted a new nature in them that cannot and will not rest in the things of the world. Now let me remind you that this new nature planted in those who are believers by the work of the Spirit of God in regeneration happens to people that are still in the flesh, which means there are times when we go out the window of the ark. You with me? There are times when we take flight and we go out looking for those things that might bring us satisfaction in the world. Say amen. We do. And we do because we have wings. And we go out at times and we think that this will satisfy us and this will bring us happiness and this will bring us comfort, entertainment, and pleasures, and sports, and so on. But you understand that to a believer, they fail us every single time. At the end of the day, we come back weary and worn out, back to the ark and back to the things of God. And every time we search, and every time we fail in our search to find happiness and joy in the things of the world, we become more and more convinced of the impossibility that anything in the world can ever satisfy a believer's heart. And everything we want, we find in Christ. It is in our old man that we pursue worldly pleasures, but it is not in the new man to enjoy them. Say amen. My old man still has days in which it pursues worldly pleasures, but the new man, the new nature that God has put in me, cannot enjoy them. And the Christian, you and me, saved by the grace of God, we may forget that we are sojourners here and pilgrims in this world, and we may actually be in pursuit of an earthly object in which we could set our hearts upon, but we will soon learn that for us, for believers, there is no rest for our feet in this world. And what brings pleasure to the raven doesn't bring pleasure to the dove. Say amen. And when the believer discovers with every trip is that no heart of a child of God will ever ultimately be satisfied with any object or any person other than Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is room in our hearts for a wife and a husband. There's room in a wife if you're a man, and a husband if you're a wife. Let me put it that way. There is room in our hearts for children. There's room in our hearts for friends, and there's room there because Christ is there. But listen to me. There is no wife, no husband, no child, no friend, no kinfolk who can ever fill the believer's heart. He must have Jesus Christ. There is no rest for him anywhere else. Amen. And we keep coming back, don't we? We keep coming back to Christ. You know why? Because he never disappoints. He never fails to satisfy our souls. For the ravens of this world, for the unregenerate man, the world will be a place of contentment for them. But if I be regenerate, if I be a born-again believer, it does not matter what direction you throw me out the window. I will never, I shall never, I must not, I dare not hope to find any contentment in anyone else but in Christ alone. Say amen. There is nowhere else that I can find satisfaction than Christ. Josephus, he is a Jewish historian back contemporary of first the early church, and Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that the dove came back to Noah with her wings and her feet all wet and all muddy. And I would say tonight that we all may get a little wet and a little muddy in this world, trying to find rest in this world, trying to find rest for feet that cannot find rest in anything else but Christ. But we are not to dry up, and we're not to clean up. We're to do what the dove did. Mount higher once again, catch sight of the ark, and head in that direction. Fly back as quick as you can to him. And I promise you, if you're his child, he will reach out the window and seize you and take you in to himself. Amen. It is your nature. Your nature hungers and thirsts for what will satisfy it. And what your nature is what you will wind up doing. The raven had the whole world, say amen, The raven would look around and see dead bodies everywhere. It had the whole world, but it was outside the ark. The raven had the whole world, but he didn't have Christ. And he was perfectly fine with that. The dove had the whole world, but did not have Christ, and could not find a place to set her feet except back at the ark. What does man need? A new nature. Say amen. Ravens need to be made doves. A new nature, a new heart, a new spirit. He needs something put in him that will repel him from the world and draw him to Christ. He needs a nature in him like the dove that is repulsed by the deadness of the world and drawn back to the ark of Christ. And that is what God has done in regeneration. We have been given a nature. Are you listening? If you're saved tonight, raise up your hand. You have been given by God through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. You have been given a nature that cannot possibly find satisfaction in this world of death. It can only be satisfied in Jesus Christ and in the life that only He gives. It is a message for the birds. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.